Coming up on Patriots This Week.
Yeah, the fog, that was crazy. I'd never seen that.
It's been said, to find truth, one must travel a dense fog. Against the Falcons, the Patriots may have found themselves.
And I thought we executed our game plan perfectly tonight.
Really, really good job by our football team tonight. Proud of what they did.
The Super Bowl rematch picked up where the Super Bowl ended, with one exception.
Yeah, that fog was pretty crazy.
Now, Foxborough gets ready for a lightning strike. The Chargers have gone L.A. New city, same look. And the Patriots are bolting for a win.
So you got to understand that they're coming in hot. And, you know, we just got to focus on that and understand that it's going to be a great challenge this week.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Even before the fog lifted on Sunday night, we had clarity from the Patriots, while the Falcons, it appears, are still in their post-Super Bowl haze. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy with my radio partner from 98.5 The Sports Hub, Scott Zolak.
What's up, Bob?
And Matt Chatham, three-time Super Bowl champion. Yeah. And what's up is that, in the words of Devin McCourty, it was about time. Complimentary football, all three phases for the Pats, dominating the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I don't want to say that you're shocked by it, because we've seen it over the years where this team will tend to put it together when everything's stacked against them. You know, the big thing going into this game, no Stephon Gilmore, the activation of Mohamed Sanu, and you're thinking, okay, it's going to be a track meet for Atlanta. Not the case, but I thought this Patriots defense played good complementary football in all three phases.
Yeah, the thing that I thought was really important about this game is not letting the running game go in for the Falcons. I mean, that was something that hurt the Patriots in that first half, just a handful of them in the Super Bowl. And coming back now, if you mute that portion of the game, I think they do match up pretty well in the secondary. The fear going in, though, is, as Zoe hits on here, Sanu's back up, you're down not only Gilmore, but Rowe as well. It's depth. So anyone gets nicked up in game could be a track meet. So they kept the running game down, put them in a lot of third and uncomfortable situations, and then you match up quite well.
Brady was really good on third down in this game, but he didn't have to carry the team. And it just seems like a guy that's 40 years old, not getting knocked around against a good team. This could be a nice trend moving forward if you're able to run the football the way they did.
Atlanta goes for it twice in the first half on fourth down, converting the first time on a Matt Ryan gallop. Eventually, Matt Ryan, who's missed only one field goal this year prior to the game, 59 yards out a week before, lines up for an attempt, and Cassius Marsh breaks through the line, diving block on it. Really a turnaround play.
We've seen it from a bunch of guys. And special teamers are like McClellan jumping over the pile. They've done this over the course of the years, but find a guy like Marsh to get in. Good athlete. Got the arm up. Just perfect timing on his part. They almost got another one later, too, off the edge.
Exactly. You feel good for guy, too, because he was a part of the big scramble, right? I mean, he's a guy that had lost the edge a couple times. You hear the groaning, especially up in the media area, you know, asking what's he supposed to be doing on the edge? What's going on there? And then he actually cleaned that up, I think, in the second half as far as his edge responsibilities, and then gets a big play in special teams. So there's a little bit of that sort of the earth is now centered kind of feel. And you love him coming off the sideline and Belichick all fired up. And he kind of made the joke this week that you don't often see him smile, but when you get a big situational win like that, you'll get it out of him.
They got to the 11-yard line, and then really some interesting play calling by Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, you know, you look at Brandon Cooks' numbers, and you're thinking, okay, you know, maybe he's not having the type of year we expected, but he's right there, you know, number three in yardage, and I just think, you know, this kid's ready to explode. Just find ways to get him the ball. I like it.
Big play on that throw across the field where Brady had to roll out and find Gronkowski along the sideline, and then Gronk makes the block on what you called the easiest touchdown pass Tom Brady's probably ever
done.
It's
almost like it was like a chest pass.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Got the snap and just the timing aspect of it.
Pretty cool.
Matt knows this too. You know, you rep that all the time, walk through. Everything is time, predicated on timing. And for a guy that quick to do it, and David Andrews, perfect snaps and a shotgun throughout the course of this year, he's on fire.
When we go back to the fourth down decisions by Dan Quinn, succeeded the first time because Matt Ryan was able to break containment and run for the first down. Didn't work so well the second time, near midfield, with time left for the Patriots to add to the lead and make it a three-score game.
I have to wonder when they do stuff like that. And Dan's was a coach of mine. I have a ton of respect for the guy. I think he's a really good defense of mine. But I half wonder if you talk yourself into, I'm going to do that because of the whole offseason, right? You know, the sort of the get-back mentality, the revenge mentality. You don't want to sneak in, but that unusual aggressiveness, it didn't seem game-appropriate. It seemed like that was for something else or to head off something else down the road.
It was moronic. It really was.
Yeah.
The second one.
Sense.
Yeah, the first one, you know, you could sit here, we could debate it, I understand. Yeah. Okay, we need to make a play. you're going to chance it in midfield and give Tom Brady the ball with all his timeouts and 2 minutes left, and you're already down 10 points. You kick it away. You play the percentages. They deferred in that game, Bob. They were getting the ball. It was stupid. It's dumb. Teams tend to let it go when they come up here.
And, Matt, while the Patriots played their best defensive game of the season, they lost Dante Hightower, the torn pec. What's the impact of that injury, and how does this team overcome it?
Well, you can't downplay it. I think you understand that he's one of your best players. Losing one of your best players is never a good thing. But that said, I've always sort of been of the belief, I guess from experience here, that you'll never be better than you are without him, but you can be as good. And I think what you have to understand is there's a long history here of taking top players, and the reason they're top players is because they have sort of a bucket skill set. They can do it all. That's how you get the top money in this league. But that doesn't mean you can't find other people that can do parts of what they do just as good as they can. It's just that they can't do all of them. I look at David Harris, not a lot of game reps, but we did get to see the 19 in the Falcons game. I saw him two quick plays that were like, that's the same guy I remember, same guy I played with. So it's going to be a group effort, all hands on deck, but that's usually how it is.
Now, the secondary has been playing shorthanded. Johnson Bademosi, as we alluded to, had to play because Gilmore wasn't available. Here's a guy who had started only three games at cornerback in his first 5 years in the NFL, all last year for Detroit. Hadn't played a defensive snap before week six for the Patriots. Comes up big.
Yeah.
Not spectacular, but solid.
Solid. I think it was only, four targets against him throughout the course of the game. But I think he battles. He competes. He plays well with his hands. He's a strong player. I thought he and Malcolm Butler in this game, good run support, good tackling, really wrapping up.
Aggressive. He's the little similar personality to Malcolm in that regard, and the same kind of player. But he may go back out again here at some point when some of these guys come back. But you know he's there in the drawer in the event that it's needed again later in the year.
And a big difference, too, for this Patriots defense, limiting yards after catch by the Falcons.
And that's kind of the trend that they played within the Super Bowl. Everybody thought, Julio Jones is going to do this, that, and the other. It's catching down. Guys are going to get catches. And I just thought Atlanta didn't take advantage of some matchups.
No backs, neither Freeman nor Coleman in there on a fourth and goal to go inside the one. So Van Noy follows the receiver in motion, Gabriel, but Trey Flowers also anticipates, and he penetrates in the back.
Well, we also now know that it's not just Shanahan's sort of quizzical calls. I think anyone can do these kind of crazy things and get you go, thank you. So I think I like the idea that you pointed out the Flowers play. I think he was quietly big in this game, aggressive, active again, as we've seen him in weeks past. The thing I think I like most, though, is you could go down the roster, and usually when you look back at these big historical wins the Patriots have, moments where Lizzo says, you're challenged, you need something, you can find seven, eight, nine guys who made big plays in this game.
Let's talk about the Patriots offense, complimentary offense. Not only was Brady good, but so were the backs. Deion Lewis and Rex Burkhead with a nice spark for this team. Back in the lineup for the first time since week two.
I was dead wrong. I went with a Gillislee big game. I think I'll probably stay off that the rest of the year because these four guys are all going to contribute.
Yeah.
You're going in each week. Each guy gets eight touches. What can you do? But it's just cool to see Burkhead get involved. He's explosive. And it's odd that you got four guys and they're each just a little bit different than another. Just a little bit so that it kind of makes sense to change it up.
Patriots with a lot of perspective before the game. Players donating hundreds of tickets, spearheaded by Joe Cardona, the Navy Reserve officer, to the military. Yep. Men and women on the field. Players greeting them. Hundreds of cancer survivors, including Tom Brady's mother, and as well Hudson Soldier, who we learned through a report by Michelle Tafoya, the young child of Nate and Lexi Soldier, once again undergoing chemotherapy for kidney tumors.
To juggle all of this and to have the right mind frame, Matt, this. You've got to be mentally focused and lasered in on game day for 60 minutes, and that's a tough thing to do. It also reminds us that football isn't life. There's other things in life than just football, even though it's your job.
It's been a rough few weeks for those guys. So the idea that you knew he's getting heat publicly for his tackle play, which I thought is much better than what people thought.
And he's played well.
And he's played very well. And understanding that people, I think, thought that absences somehow related to play had nothing to do with it. So it's great to see a guy get back on top, play at the high level you're used to, but know that when he goes home at night, he's going home to that stuff. It's something that certainly hits at home.
All right, we'll be back with Don Banks and our bank shots right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Find out why 4 out of 5 customers recommend Waste Management for their waste disposal needs.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Cassius Marsh. The Patriots traded for the 6'4", 245-pounder just days before the season opener. A fourth-year defensive end out of UCLA, Marsh got his first sack as a Patriot against the elusive Deshaun Watson of the Texans. And his block of a Matt Bryant field goal helped spur the Patriots to their win over the Atlanta Falcons. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
In the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, time for some bank shots with our NFL insider, Don Banks. And Don, just as we thought after 7 weeks, Patriots and the Steelers, front runners in the AFC. For both, maybe not the way we thought they'd get here, but the Steelers reasserting themselves as a Super Bowl contender this week.
Wasn't it 2 weeks ago the sky was falling in Pittsburgh and Ben Roethlisberger was probably done? So, yeah, that's the state of the AFC this year. We started out, Denver was 2-0. We were all over them. Then it became Kansas City was the flavor of the week. They had about a 3 or 4 week run. Now they've lost 2 in a row. Pittsburgh's won 2 in a row. We're back on the Steelers. All the while, the Patriots are kind of, you know, stealthily climbing on the outside rail.
What about the Cleveland Browns and maybe their lament? They could have had Carson Wentz. They could have had Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Kaiser's been benched now twice in the span of 3 to 4 weeks. And Wentz is prospering in year two for the Philadelphia Eagles. Tremendous performance on Monday night.
Yeah, I think it was not just the fact that, you know, they started slow and came back. It was his playmaking ability. I mean, his ability to get out of bad situations in the pass rush and still make plays, make throws with his legs too, I really felt like it was his coming out moment on a national platform Monday night, because he's not only the best of the young quarterbacks, he's starting to at least, you can see where he's going to be in the conversation among the elite quarterbacks in the league overall, even in his second year.
Browns lose a game in overtime to the Titans, and they lose their longtime left tackle, Joe Thomas, down to injury finally after his Ironman streak of 10,300-plus snaps.
I don't think we'll ever see the likes of that again. I really don't. What a testament to Joe Thomas going to work every day. But it's a bad situation he's played with for a long time in Cleveland. 10.5 seasons without missing a snap is mind-blowing. I just hope we've not seen the last of Joe Thomas, period.
And it's a bad situation in Denver for the Broncos offense. Shut out by the Chargers. Shut out for the first time since 92. First time ever in Denver. John Elway, great quarterback, in the conversation for all-time best. And yet he's had a tough time picking a quarterback post Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I think we're going to see Trevor Siemian get one last shot. And if he doesn't play better against Kansas City, I think we're going to have a Paxton Lynch cameo in that number one spot in Denver. They clearly, I mean, you know, Cleveland gets all the jokes. Denver has not really solved this situation post Peyton Manning. And I think Trevor Siemian has again proven, put a good team around him and carry him, he can play pretty good quarterback, but he's not going to elevate the rest of the team. So I think it's almost Paxton Lynch time in Denver.
Yeah, it could be interesting when the Patriots go out there in a couple of weeks to play the Broncos. Don, as always, appreciate it.
Thanks, Bob.
Don Banks with us, back with Scott and Matt right after this on Patriots This Week.
All right, time now for your Zone Show. You know what I might do? I might just do helmets and logos. Prettiest helmet, one of the prettiest helmets in football. We're going to take a look at Joey Bosa here. 7.5 sacks, folks, right here on the bottom. Freeze it right here. This is kind of the offense the Patriots run. It's a 3-wide receiver set, a lot of motion. Say this is James White or Deion Lewis offset to Tom Brady. Go ahead and roll the tape. Watch this guy. So you got Marcus Cannon right here. Watch the leverage. Watch the pad level. Quick move outside. Explosive right to the quarterback. That's what scares me. So you may want to double him there. Freeze it right here. Boom. Where's he going? Outside. Okay, look at this tackle right here. He's got great positioning on Bosa. So he could ride him up. Go ahead and roll the tape. Watch what happens here. Okay, he still has a motor. This kid's a great athlete on the floor. This is the play of the year right here for a defensive end. Watch it right here. You think he's going to get blocked. Cut him down. Boom. Nope. Hands. Keep him going right here. Trevor Siemian throws him down like a rag doll. I do like the helmet. I don't like Joey Bosa. Let's find him. Let's block him. 7.5 sacks. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is presented by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, and we continue on Patriots This Week. And Zoe, you like the Chargers helmet.
Yep.
We agree. We love their powder blue uniforms. But when the Los Angeles Chargers visit Foxborough, they'll be in the all-white this week, riding a three-game winning streak and coming off a shutout of the Broncos.
Good quarterback in Phillip Rivers. I think you look at consistency and the way he's been able to play over the years. I think he's a guy that plays through injury. He's got a good tight end in Antonio Gates. It's pretty interesting to look at the combo of Brady and Gronkowski versus Rivers and Gates, and what this could potentially be in this type of game. He's always had good downfield targets. It's a team that's had to deal with the transition of cities. I refuse to call them the L.A. Chargers. They are the San Diego Chargers. Exactly. They should have stayed there. I think it's bad for the league that they went there. It's sad. It really is.
From a Patriots perspective, you look at who they beat in the last 3 weeks. There are three teams that I know the respect around here is real high for. The Giants, who haven't had a great season, but the Broncos and the
Denver.
Raiders, right?
The shutout of Denver.
Denver, right? So, and the Raiders. So those are three really pretty big-time teams in this league. They knocked those three out. You're playing them early. They had lost four in a row. The one thing I know Coach Belichick will be making mention of this week is every game has been competitive. They've only had one two-score loss. That was the Chiefs. All these other games, even in losses, have been two-point games, four-point games, stuff like that.
Well, if they had a reliable kicker the first couple of weeks, they might have won those games. Yeah. They missed two late field goals, which either would have won it or tied it in their first two losses. Then they went to the University of Maryland's Nick Novak. Problem solved. He beats the Oakland Raiders.
It's almost like you can bring back Sean Merriman, too, if you want to go back to bring some back old Terps. But it's a team nobody has talked about because it's always either Denver or Oakland out in the West.
You got a whole locker room full of dudes that are living like vagrants. Yeah. And the idea that a guy like Phil, who's been the face of the franchise for over a decade, I think it would be easy for a guy like him for his mind to go elsewhere, to start thinking about another place. But he hasn't. And the way they've rallied these last 3 weeks, I think it goes on his shoulders.
He's got a big family. He's making a two-hour commute each way from
his
home near San Diego.
He's got a nice car. Real nice
good
car.
Driver. Apparently good, car. Good reliable nice. Driver. Yeah. He's also got a good running back he can hand it to in Melvin Gordon or throw it to now.
Yeah, and the ability to run play action, too, and check it down, and we can see with the Patriots, too, the ability to throw the ball to the backs. It adds another dimension for you offensively.
Well, you're back to the old pair. James White and Melvin played together at Wisconsin, and Melvin is a super explosive guy, but now they've got him in more of a one-cut system, which I think is much better his thing. You look at him in sort of Le'Veon Bell kind of role, not him. He's not the patient guy. He's not the go-read-it guy. It's the give him the cut, blow through it, and he's going to make a huge play. His hands are soft, his O touches on. That wasn't a thing he did much at Wisconsin, so that's kind of been a pleasant surprise for them. Should also touch on Hunter Henry, the other tight end. He's kind of the up-and-comer. I talked to some of the people out in San Diego this week, and they referenced him as sort of Gronk-like. I think that's just for lack of a better word, but he is a nice rising star at that position. Keenan Allen's still there at the wide receiver spot. The odd thing for them is that you're going here in the midseason, he's still playing. That usually doesn't happen. So uber-talented has a hard time staying on the field sometimes.
And uber-talented is Joey Bosa, and he's got Melvin Ingram as well. Those two combined, 16 sacks. Yep. And then there's Chris McCain, who got his first career sack against the Patriots as a Dolphin. He's got five sacks for this team.
Yeah, but I think it's Bosa's the motor guy. When you look at the Texans' defense, you look, where's J.J. Watt? Where's the motor guy? You could add stats, and you could put all this together, but Bosa and his ability, and we looked at him in the Zoe Show, that's the motor that I get concerned with because I don't think you can block him one-on-one. The sustainability of a tackle at the end, needing that back to help him chip on him.
I think it's chip week, yeah. Yep, I think that's a great point. The other thing that I appreciate about Bosa is he's not just an edge winner. He can slide down, and he can also rush tackle, power them, can go underneath them. Those are the kind of guys that tend to give Tom more trouble because Tom kind of doesn't mind the guy that flies up the field past him. Bosa plays through the guy, underneath him, over the top. He can kind of do it all.
All right, Patriots, Chargers, Matt and Zoe are back to make their picks. Predictions, game changers next on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
It's a 1 o'clock start on the East. That means an early wake-up call for Los Angeles Chargers-Patriots Sunday. Matt, who prevails?
I think we're finally to that point where we're going to see a comfortable Patriots victory, 30-12. I'm going to go with my player of the game as Rob Gronkowski. I think there were a lot of missed opportunities last week. You look at his sheet, it felt like he did more. I think this is going to be one of those 8 catches, over 100-yard kind of game for Gronk.
Wow. I do think the Patriots are going to hit 30 points. I think it's going to be 33-26. Mm. Yeah, boy, only 12 points for the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Rex Burkhead as my game changer because I think now all of a sudden you start to see this guy run downhill. He's going to kill you in a pass game. Little angle routes, little seam routes. They're going to get in the end zone twice with Rex Burkhead.
All right, game before the bye, Pats and Chargers. Guys, looking forward to it.
All right, Bobby.
For Matt Chatham, Scott Zolak, and Don Banks, I'm Bob Soucy. Thanks so much for joining us on Patriots This Week. So long, everyone.